Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, which I am hereby now calling the Fuck Tyler podcast. I'm your host, Robert, and with me I have...
I'm Alex, and these pretzels are making me thirsty!
And...
I am Mark, and... Okay, I'm gonna say it. How fucking awesome was Samurai Jack last
week? Oh, yeah...
It was so worth the nearly 13 years it took to get there. Just... And you can read about that on Surreal Resolution. Shameless plug.
Hey. Oh.
Holy shit.
Hype is all hell, except for the two people who were crying about, it's too dark, it's too dark. Shut the hell up, okay?
Who's crying about that shit?
There's always one or two people.
Like, that was in the advertising. We all knew this going in. Like... And, I mean, come on, there was a robot assassin named after a line from a Queen song, who, like, brought things to life with the flute.
And it almost sounded like a robot assassin, Sammy Davis Jr.
Or as I call him...
I'll have to take your word on that.
Or as I call him, what Dandy would be like if he were a Samurai Jack villain. Braver.
Ah. So... Yeah, obviously all of that, Samurai Jack, you can read about it on the site. And yes, I'm so glad Alex made the joke because someone, Joey, forgot to make that joke on the training stage. Seriously, you do an entire episode with a bowl of pretzels? Like, I don't even... I've never even seen much of Seinfeld, and even I know that joke.
Oh, and, good job making Todd in the Shadows look on time with his year in retrospective, you guys. Good job. No big deal, it's just March, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, shit, at least we got our year end before the end of the actual end of the year.
Yeah. And if you're listening, we're joking with you guys. Don't take it so seriously.
Wait, we are? I was being really serious.
Yeah, they didn't like my joke.
Joey seemed a little mad. He's probably going to call, you know, fucking Smash Mouth to, you know, play some music for you.
Yeah, I'll show them the door. And then proceed to ram it up at their asses.
Somebody wants... Oh, shit.
And that's my fist going right up the rectum.
Ew, I thought it was just going to be a door. Why the whole fist?
You know, doors are a little too rectangular. They can't get in there all the way.
Well, I mean, you know what they say. Anything's a dildo if you're brave enough.
Okay.
Ow.
Okay, we've made enough jokes here. We've kind of been on... Yeah, sorry, we had to take the opportunity to rib on them. I mean, they've been ribbing on me for the past couple episodes, so, you know. Gotta get that feedback when you can.
Yeah.
So, anyway, normally this is where we do, you know, our typical formalities of what's been going on in our lives, but things have been kind of slow this week, news-wise. We only have, like, 6 songs and 4 news topics. So instead, we're going to open this show up with another round of just what the hell we've been listening to this past couple weeks. Or week or so, however long we decide the interval should be. So, y'all want to start first?
Sure, I'll go ahead and start first. So, I'm coming up in my last couple weeks of school, I mentioned that before, and... I'm crafting my final project, which is a completely original, self-written, self-produced song, which is going to be a mix of progressive rock and metalcore, like 8 minutes long. If I'm brave enough, I'll share it with all you guys. But to find some inspiration, I've decided to go through my catalog of music that I have saved, because that's the kind of listener I am. I'm not wholly into listening to... every new album that's out available every week. I'm very much content with what I have in my library. So, to find some inspiration, I've decided to listen to a couple of artists and bands. Namely, Rob Scowen and Jared Dines. Because, you know, they have quite a bit of self-written work that's really goddamn good.
Woo!
Yeah. That's... kind of a weird way of going about my creative process as well. I just get these urges and impulses at the most random times. Like, I came up with the structure for my piece, like, 4 o'clock in the morning at work. It came to my head. I gotta write it all down. And sure enough, some of the inspiration for that kind of stemmed listening to some Rob Scallon and Jared Dines tracks, as well as some Dream Theater songs like Pull Me Under and Change the Seasons, and even some of James LaBrie's solo work, which is eclectic in a way. It's an interesting mix of pop melodies with Swedish death metal. That's the best way I can put it. Yeah. That's pretty much what I've been listening to for the past week or so. I've just needed to find some sources for inspiration for what I'm crafting in the next week or so. Because I gotta start recording the final mixes this week. Wish me luck.
Yay!
Good luck.
Hopefully things work out for you and you can graduate and you don't have to stay another year.
Yeah.
Diploma.
Yeah. I gotta run a bass this week too. So I need a real bass, not a fucking synth bass or a pitch shift thing.
Ah, bass. Maybe now you can embrace rule number 2.
But I'm not a useless cunt. I'm quite useful.
Sure you are, Alex. Sure you are.
Oh, hey, just because I can't play Metropolis, that doesn't mean I'm a terrible bass player. Come on.
Actually, yes, it does. That's kind of the metric here.
Oh, I have to play the tapping solo in Metropolis to be a competent bass player? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that when you play the exact outro from Panic Attack at full speed.
Oh, I very well can. I can even get it on video as well. What you saw was only the intro part.
Yeah.
Or I guess somewhere closer to the middle.
Then do that, and for the hell of it, play that ending sequence of Nightmare to Remember.
I will most definitely do that, sir, and I will show you up, you bitch.
Oh, I'm gonna get you back someday.
Eh, good luck. Assuming you can make it to Miami.
I'm coming to Florida in a few weeks. Who knows? I might pull some strings and work some magic and come down to your neck of the woods when you're least expecting it.
Oh, please. I'm always expecting it. I'm very paranoid that someone's always following me at all times.
Oh, you always feel like somebody's watching you?
Absolutely, and I'm so glad I'm not the one who made that obvious, terrible joke. So, anyway, what about you, Mark?
Well, for the past week, or weeks, or basically, or you know, weeks, I listened to the new Thundercat album, Drunk.
And, oh, yeah, so am I.
All right, then, I'm going to say this, So no surprise that, I kind of dig it. I will say there's some good highlights for me on this song. I mean, on the album. I do, of course, like the singles, Show Me the Way and Friend Zone. Some songs I do want to showcase is like the Walk Up by a song featuring Kendrick Lamar. Like, yes, K-Dot's on there as well.
Came back the favor from To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, him and will say that too. Yeah, I will comment on this. Is it me or does Bus on These Streets sound like something I hear on Sesame Street? Like when I first heard that song, like way back as a single, it sounded like it goes like dee 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 dee. It sounded like something like I would hear out of that was like Sesame Street. Next thing you know, I hear something like Elmo saying like. Or Big Bird coming out like, okay. like listen to something, like, I think I do hear something like that on there, but like, right? I will say, like, there's a song, like, okay, like, Favors of Mount Cool, like, first two tracks, Robot Hole and Stupid, and Captain Stupido.
Beat your meat, go to sleep.
Okay. I will say the song Tokyo, which I know, yes, we got to mention the song Tokyo, which basically like he.
That's my favorite,
huh?
That's my favorite song of the album.
Yeah, I know. Like, Duncan is saying every Western anime fan's dream, like or something like that. I will say the most surprising to me, like, really checks that. Okay, I will say I do like some. This one track I do like, by which was longer, was the track 3 AM, which I was like, damn, I actually like this song. It's like, I wish it was longer. It's like a minute and 15 seconds. Like, damn.
Yeah. if I can get in here a minute, just because this was something I was going to touch on when I was talking. Because, yeah, I've been listening to the album as well, you know, bumping into my car on my way to and from work and all that. The album, I feel, would have been better if, like, there's, like, 23 tracks on this thing, I think.
Yeah.
Either 21 or 23. And there's a lot of stuff that could be, like, trimmed, and songs that I feel like should have been longer. Like, if there's one in particular, I think they really should have, like, expanded on Jameel's Spaceflight. That song's only a minute! What the hell?
Oh yeah, the song's so little short. Like, I know it's like, what I'm gonna ask, like, I noticed the song didn't change as in the album, which, was it in the last album, like, the Beyond / Where the Dream, Where the Giants Roam, that mini album he did? It's like, okay, I mean, it's a good song, and I was like, why is it on here? It's like, okay, rehearsed from the first time, like, you could have left it at that album, like, you know, either put it at, like, twice I heard before.
Yeah.
And this track, I don't mind at all, but I can, if the Wiz Khalifa track, the feature Wiz Khalifa track, you know, the one Wiz Khalifa's in, Drink That, I don't mind that, but I can live without it. I mean, it's not a bad track.
It's kind of,
but it's like,
really boring.
It's like, I can live without it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just kind of there, occupying CD space. You know, maybe if you didn't have that song in the album, Jameel's Spaceflight could have been longer. Just saying, Thundercat. So, anything else to add, or...
I noticed there was a song that obviously was on the Japanese version, which I didn't hear, which... A song called High, featuring Mac Miller, which I did not notice that was... Okay, it's on the Japanese version, in other words, we didn't hear shit. Like, okay.
Of course.
I didn't, yeah. So hey, they can hit Tokyo and in the song with Mac Miller in it. But yeah, the album's pretty solid. I really do like it. If I have to say if it's better than Apocalypse or that other album, or that mini album he did, you know, that's only eight tracks. You know, that last one's only like eight tracks. Yeah, it's slightly better. Slightly better. I do appreciate some of the songs. Like, yeah, it's something I do listen to almost every other day, at least some of it. But yeah, I recommend it.
Cool. So, moving on to me to round this out. Like I said, I've been listening to Drunk as well. Good album overall. Needs a little bit of, like, you know, editing. You know, length in some songs. Like, I feel Tokyo could have used at least one more verse. We needed some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure references. Like, okay, Thundercat, good on you for name-dropping her boy Kenshiro, but... Oh, and by the way, you have to answer Funimation's tweet. Are you more Kenshiro or Goku? Answer these questions for science. And, yeah, you know, still some good songs on there. Friend Zone, Show You the Way. I kind of like that solo, like... You know, bass jam, You know, sometimes you just gotta have a song that's just pure showing off. Thundercat is definitely an exception to rule number two. I'm sure Alex would agree, right?
Shut the fuck up, Rob.
Wow, fuck you, Rob, on this podcast too, of course. But, outside of that, like I said, I always listen to, like, try to listen to albums that are new to me, like, as frequently as I can. And most recently that I can think of, I've been going through the discography of this math rock band, Hella. Now, most music nerds definitely know them because it was the very first significant music project of drummer Zach Hill. You know, the drummer from hip-hop group Death Grips. And who doesn't love us some Death Grips? So, yeah, you know, it's really, like, precise, technical... very intricately dense rock music, and it's literally just, like, him and the guitarist whose name escapes me at the moment. And, you know, their albums, for the most part, are really damn good overall, compositionally. The one that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, and I know it sounds backhanded, but, I mean that, you know, in a different way, is their album There Is No 666 in Outer Space. Because it's the only Hella album that actually has vocals on it. So, you know, it's not just instrumentals and shit, but there's kind of this whacked out vocal style that almost kind of reminds me of, like, that almost kind of makes him sound like a more technical version of At the Drive-In. And, you know, truth be told, I actually think it's, like, my favorite Hella album that I've heard out of, like, their entire main discography. Just because I think the vocals actually do give it, like, a different dynamic and actually puts the songs, you know, into new sonic territory that I think really works. And who knows if Hella will ever come back? I mean, who knows? Maybe Zach Hill will find some time off of Death Grips and whatever else he does to maybe do something else with them. And was there anything else that was listening? No, I think that's basically it as far as I know. Other than that, I've basically just been bumping, you know, Thundercat. Oh, and I also finally got a physical copy of Death Grips 2-disc The Powers That Be. So now I can drive to work while blasting I Break Mirrors with My Face in the United States. Or have a sad cum, baby.
That sounds all too common in Miami.
What, breaking mirrors with your face in the United States?
Yeah, because, you know, the Flocka.
Oh, yeah, Flocka. Or whatever the fuck the hot new drug is this week. Honestly, I can never keep up. There's always, like, too many new drugs.
Only in Florida,
here's
kids.
Here's some Wi-Fi or some sense.
Yes.
Here's some lead. Here's some...
Here's some lean.
Lean? This isn't Atlanta. Come on, Alex. Get your drugs geographically correct.
Oh, you want to talk to me about being geographically correct?
Yes, maybe I do.
Okay, where's Sweden?
You want to know where Sweden is? It's in Europe. Oh, technically, I'm not wrong.
Where in Europe?
How the fuck should I know? It's in the part of Europe that's European. Is it north of Switzerland? I don't know.
Moving on.
I just know Switzerland has a really bad problem with Aztec gods.
Yeah, don't we all.
Rest in peace, Mr. Salad Man.
And rest in peace, Reise Papenbrook's terrible Italian accent. Come the fuck on, man. It's not too hard to do it like this.
His dad had more of an Italian accent. I'm still not sure what accent that actually is. Like, it doesn't even sound French, to be honest. But whatever. We got to, you know, move on. Now, we're going to get into the handful of new songs that came out in the past week or so of note. And, of course, there will be a link to a playlist down in the description so you can follow along for yourselves, should you so choose. Or if you just want to listen to us ramble, you can just stay here. And we all know you want to. So, starting off at the top of the list with the shortest of these songs, the grindcore band Full of Hell, which is, oddly enough, another band that I've been checking out quite recently. They're pretty good overall. They've done some, you know, pretty furious stuff with some interesting, you know, mixes of electronics, whether it be on their own or collaborating with Merzbo or The Body and whatnot. Yeah, they got a new album coming out May 5th called Trumpeting Ecstasy. And to promote it, they've got a new little ditty out called Deluminate. And, you know, it's grind. It basically, you know, hits you in the face for a minute and never stops. Although, one thing I will point out that I noticed, maybe this is insignificant to some people, but I kind of noticed the vocals seem like they were slightly more pronounced in the mix than, you know, Full of Hell usually is. Like, usually the vocals are kind of like just, and I hope this is the right word here, airy enough that it kind of swirls into, like, the musical vortex of chaos that is their works. But here, it's sort of pronounced to the point where it almost kind of sounds like it's doing, like, deathcore kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, I can't get what you mean. Again, I'm not personally all that big into grindcore. It's just not my thing. But so I can't really say much about this other than it's a song. It's 58 seconds long, and it's heavy, and it's aggressive, and it's in your face, and it's screaming, and it's very loud, and it exists. That's all I can say about it.
Well, at least you have that little Twitter video.
Yes.
You know the one.
Yes. Appreciating freeform grindcore, like a sir.
While stroking your chin, even though you're not an undersea creature. Do undersea creatures even have chins? What the hell is SpongeBob pointing at when he does that?
These are the questions that keep us up at night.
Well, they keep me up at night. I don't know about Alex. He probably has better things to worry about.
Yeah, like finances and school and, you know, how I'm going to survive in a world full of idiots.
Ah, yes. I wonder about that last one as well. Well, you know, maybe you can don a ski mask and start robbing people.
That's too easy.
Eh, you never know. It worked for Ice-T. Speaking of which, there's another new Body Count single out from their upcoming album Bloodlust, and it's of course titled The Ski Mask Way. Gee, I wonder what this song could be about.
Corn dogs!
Yes, it's of course.
What?
That was so funny, it made me cough. But yeah, it's a song where Ice-T, you know, brags all about stealing shit. The ski mask way. Which sounds like some really badass martial arts shit. It's... okay, there are some pretty good grooves in here. I'll say, like, the verse is a little monotonous just because it's kind of like, you know, one chord chugged at, like, kind of awkward intervals. You know, with Ice-T, you know, being obnoxious as hell. And, you know, the drums are pretty good as well, especially, like, that killer bridge segment, where, mm-hmm. you know, the groove just feels so much more monstrous. Fun little song, I'll say.
Yeah, it's very metalcore in its approach. Like, from the verse riffs, the chorus riffs, that bridge/breakdown section, where, you know, there's a whole bunch of tom fills on the drums. Yeah, I like it.
You know, always fun to have, you know, Ice-T be badass and not giving a fuck. You know, until he decides to give a fuck and then return to his home planet.
Yeah.
I will keep making references to that episode every time Body Count comes up on this podcast, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Okay.
See, Mark understands. Resistance is futile. But yeah, you know, fun little song and all. Maybe not as great as No Lives Matter, because obviously it's just, you know, new metal tough guy posturing as opposed to that song, which was actually, you know, about something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for what it is, it's a fun little, you know, mosh jam.
Yeah. It fits with the image.
Right. So, no clever segue for this next one. Have y'all seen that trailer for that new Charlize Theron movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone watch that shit once it comes out. That shit look badass.
Christmas came early. So, yeah, the trailer for, I believe it's called The Atomic Girl?
Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde, right, my apologies. So, that's probably going to be a fun little action movie. But, of course, the trailer engages in the usual shenanigans of having, you know, a current-day act engaging in a morose cover of a classic pop tune. Although this time, things are a little different because it's a band that I happen to recognize and like for the most part. The band Health. We may have spoken on them a couple times on this podcast, way back in the pilot, once when we did the look back on the Adult Swim singles, and those couple of times when Alex made the obvious Eric Andre reference.
Yep. You supply the Rick and Morty references, I supply Eric Andre references. Also, happy Investigate 311 Day this past Saturday.
Yes, we will get to the truth of that one day. We gotta find out what happened. But yeah, they dropped, for this trailer, they recorded a version of New Order's classic Blue Monday. And I know what you're thinking. Morose, moody cover of Blue Monday. Where have we heard this before? Yes.
1998, I believe.
Yes, we have. And I actually have the album that cover appeared on. In case you're wondering, this is when I was more naive, and I found it for like $2 at an FYE.
Now, to be fair, Orgy's cover of Blue Monday is actually kind of good. I like it.
I guess, I don't know, in retrospect, it's not anything I'd want to re-listen to again. But then again, who cares about Orgy? So, yeah, this Health version of the song, I mean, it's alright. Maybe I'm not as hype on it as I am other Health tracks, just because, you know, it falls into that really annoying trailer soundtrack trend that I'm so sick of when it comes to fucking video games and movies. Seriously, fucking, who wants to hear a moody cover of I Want to Be Sedated, A Cure for Wellness?
Oh.
But, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it sounds like, okay, maybe I'm also down on this because the song just kind of sounds like diet health. Like, it sounds pretty typical and never goes into, like, the, wow, diet health. I just realized that pun. God damn it.
It's so healthy.
But, yeah, it just kind of, it never dives into, like, some of the, it's industrial shore with, like, that morose melody, but it never dives into some of the noisier passages that health is typically, you know, they characterize what makes health so great. You know, it's just kind of there as far as their overall sound.
Right.
Yeah, in terms of, like, okay, although Merit is aight, but in terms of, you know, songs that got a, you know, they do a morose, sad version cover, well, it's slightly better than other songs that did the other cover did the shit, i.e. I Started a Joke or that other fucking song of that Transformers trailer, which I kind of care.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess there's not really much more to say on that.
Yeah, it is whatever. It's, I mean, I didn't even notice until you brought it up to me. It's like, oh, that's the song I heard from that trailer.
Yeah, I guess
I have to notice the action.
Yeah, obviously the movie that this is soundtrack is probably going to be more interesting than the song itself. Gotta love Charlize Theron, man.
She should have gotten the Best Actress Oscar!
Absolutely. But, you know, do the Oscars ever get anything right? Especially after this past year. Will they ever get anything right?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Maybe. Now, let's move on to YouTubers crowdfunding for projects. In this case, good old Jared Alonge, the third best Jared on the internet.
Boy, howdy.
In case you're wondering, Jared's 1 and 2 are just, you know, Jared Dines and Dines, comma Jared.
Wait. Don't you mean, according to his YouTube plaque, Rob Scallon? This is why you don't make pivotal decisions while drunk. Isn't that right, Rob?
Absolutely. I mean, heck, the only reason I decided to do this podcast is because I was really drunk one day.
And look where we are now, 25 episodes in.
Yeah, this episode is technically funnier than 24.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, going back to Jared Alonge.
He's got, you know, the projects that he always likes to do. Like, you know, last year, or I think the year before, he had that Sunrise Skater Kids album. Then during the summer, he had that Amidst the Graves Demons EP. And now he's got another album that he's trying to crowdfund. In this case, a full feature-length album for his emo spoof project, Canadian Softball. And to promote this, he released a video/song for the appropriately titled Fund Me. Which, you know, is part song, part, you know, announcement of the campaign and its details. I mean, technically, it is a song. It has, and let me see if I'm quoting directly here, inescapably atmospheric guitar tones and prepubescent spoken word lyrics and singing. You know, just like every emo band. That matters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just, you know, singing in that awkwardly cracking voice like he did in The Distance Between You and I is Shorter Than the Title of the Song. Or was it Longer Than the Title of the Song? Where he famously just sang a bunch of Jane Smith tweets for the back half of the song.
That's always fun.
Yeah, so obviously the song is, well, I mean, I'm not sure how much it counts as a song versus counting as a trailer. But, I mean, the atmospheric guitar tones are, you know, pretty soothing and numbing in a enjoyable way. And of course, the deliberately cracky vocal performance is pretty hilarious.
Yep. Shall I run down the Indiegogo to let the listeners know where this is standing and what they can get if they're interested?
Absolutely.
Okay, so with a month left, because I believe it just started yesterday, Sunday, March 12th, So far, $12,004 has been raised of the $20,000 goal. So you can expect this to be funded pretty quickly.
Probably. I give it about another week.
Yeah. So, here are the perks people can get. For $1, you get your name in a shout-out video. For $5, you can get a signed 18x24-inch Canadian softball poster, limited to 150. For $10, you get a digital download. For $15, you get a physical CD and a download, and it just goes on and on and on like that. Here are the interesting ones, though. For $250, Jared Alonji will bake a tater tot hot dish for you and your friends.
I want Jared Alonji to bring me tater tots.
For $1,000, you'll get a tater tot hot dish party anywhere in the country. And for $1 billion, he will literally become Jared Dines.
Through the magic of plastic surgery.
Yes. Oh, and going on with this, there are some stretch goals, you know, like tour, that kind of stuff, another album. But if this somehow gets to $100,000, quoting Jared Alonji right here, I will eat my own foot and put the video on YouTube.
Okay.
But wait, okay, so at $100,000, he'll eat his foot. And if anyone makes a $1 billion donation, he'll use plastic surgery to become Jared Dines. What order do these take place in? There's got to be a hierarchy here.
I think the foot eating will come first, then the plastic surgery, because you can always get another foot.
That's true. He could just steal Jared Dines' foot.
Or, you know, steal his face, like in Face Off.
Ah, yes, that movie. I never wouldn't actually be as cool. seen it outside
it wouldn't
of
be as cool without
video.
All. Yeah. It wouldn't be as cool without all the doves, though. And, you know, Nicolas Cage hamming it up like he does.
But come on, man. John Woo.
Ah, yes. That glorious, insane bastard.
But, yeah, I just realized, I think I have, like, I actually have, like, $300 in my savings account. Maybe I need to find an excuse to move to Tennessee.
Maybe.
I really like tater tots, okay? And according to him, that's apparently just a thing they do in Tennessee sometimes. If anyone's listening to this who actually is from Tennessee, can you please verify this for us?
We need verification, damn it.
Yes. You know, before I decide to spend money on helping this goofball realize his latest musical thing.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of crowdfunding, I have an update for the Winter Sun crowdfunding campaign. With 18 days left, they have raised 268,534 euros.
Okay.
So that's a thing.
Yeah, I believe that's slightly more than they were last week.
Yeah. We did promise updates, or at least I did.
Hopefully.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, because honestly, I wasn't keeping track of this. I was just pissed that there was no time to.
One day.
But yeah, moving on from YouTube goofballs to chart-topping vocalists. Isn't that a leap? So, we mentioned last week, or I believe the week before, that there was a new Lorde out there. Yeah, she finally released the first new single from her highly anticipated sophomore album, Melodrama. And two things. One, we now know that Melodrama has a release date of June 16th. And second, we have the second single from that album, Liability. Now, compared to the more thunderous, upbeat pop approach of Greenlight, this one's a somber, just vocals and piano only kind of thing. Kind of on the same lyrical subject, being, you know, morose and sorrowful at a dude who broke her heart. But when you put it against this musical backdrop, the main observation I took away is that it sounds like Lorde's trying to be Adele here.
Okay.
I'm not the only one who thought that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of there.
You know, singing about the dude who broke her heart, who, you know, made a fool of her, and there's just the lonely piano thing. I mean, I do like her vocal performance on it. She's still got one of the most recognizable voices in current pop, but I don't know, I think I expected from like a second single, maybe more than just, oh, it's Adele, but, you know, like younger.
Yeah. I wasn't too into the whole moody piano ballad kind of thing, especially compared to the first single we heard. Kind of a dissonance with my ears.
Yeah. It's just kind of there. I mean, okay, so far we had Green Light, which was pretty good. Liability, which was okay. I mean, I'm probably still going to hear the album when it comes out. I think it'll be good overall. So, unless anyone else has anything else to say, which I guess not, we can now move on to the last single of this week, courtesy of our old friend Frank Ocean. Now, we obviously know Frank Ocean's still writing, you know, pretty high off the success of Blonde, and I guess to a lesser extent, the visual album Endless. And as part of some, I believe, Beats radio program that he hosts, or that he was a guest on, he released a new song titled Chanel. I don't think it's connected to any album or EP or anything, so... Hey, but, you know, who doesn't like some new Frank Ocean? You want to get things started on this one, Mark?
Yeah, so a bit of it. Yeah, like, yeah, it's not much different from what you do from Frank Ocean. I mean, he just got a lot of stuff, like, you know, from his lover to, some stuff about the police, and, even mentioned how, like, Lean can be a double-edged sword, because this stuff maybe talking, but of course, Lean will fuck you up and possibly kill you.
That is true. Or, you know, DJ Screw.
Him too. Shit. But it... Okay, anyway, yeah, the song's pretty alright. It's, like, something usual I hear from Frank Ocean. I mean, the production's pretty, you know, pretty, you know, pretty much what you heard from, you know, from Blonde, you know, is very weird and sort of, you know, is very interesting, unique in a way. I got nothing to say about, but yeah, it's an okay track. It's an okay track, and that's it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's some, you know, solid Ocean material. I'd argue, however, it's kind of stylistically different from Blonde, just for the fact that Chanel actually has a percussive element to it. And as we all know, I don't think any of the songs on Blonde had any kind of drums or anything. Yeah, definitely didn't have drums or anything on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this one kind of had like this, I almost want to say it kind of sounds like that stereotypical, you know, clock that we imagine that all old people have in their house. You know, like that grandfather clock, just kind of ticks endlessly.
That old-timey grandfather clock.
And I thought the, you know, lyrics were kind of interesting. If you're wondering about what that title means, well, the subject, he's more or less singing about, like, his, you know, romantic partner, who he describes sort of in terms of duality. Like, despite having, you know, a somewhat feminine appearance, his boyfriend is also someone who's very, you know, like, like savagely, you know, masculine.
Yeah, pretty much that.
And he describes this in, like, you know, as Chanel, because, like, if you look at the Chanel logo, it's two C's, you know, facing back and forth from another, but, like, intersected at a point. So, you know, that's kind of, like, something that runs through all the lyrics, just kind of, like, duality and how two seeming opposites can kind of coexist in one, you know? Pretty interesting song overall. I'm curious if this is just a one-off or if it connects to anything he may have been keeping secret from us, which, you know, given the enigmaticness of Frank Ocean, that very well could be the case.
Could it be the sounds of another album? Considering if it's true, many Frank Ocean fans, you know how crazy they are, because when Blonde came out, people were, or whatever, or, you know, before it came out, people were salivating for an album of his. And I don't know if it's clues of, could it be like another album? Could he have something? Or is it I'm going to do like one or two tracks and then that's it, like for the year. Like,
when are we getting Boys Don't Cry? The rallying cry of every Frank Ocean fan ever.
You get it when we get Doomstarks.
Update, we still have not got that album yet. And it's been a year and a month at this point, Ghostface.
Or Doom.
Eh, but you can't expect an answer from Doom. He's always, I don't know, probably in his castle in Latvia or whatever.
Well, he lives his name as a supervillain.
Absolutely. So that basically covers all the new songs this week. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a handful of news topics to talk about, so stay tuned. And we are back. Unfortunately, our first piece of news this week is a little bit of a downer. Once again, a popular musician has died. I know, wicked shock. In this case, the unfortunate victim of death is Joni Sledge. If the name sounds familiar, she's the second oldest sister of the classic group Sister Sledge. You may know them as the... They obviously had a lot of hits back in the day, but obviously most of us know them for We Are Family, a staple of every party that our parents ever went to and drag us to.
Well, this song you hear in every black movie you might have seen or not.
Pretty much. Yeah, just, you know, obviously this is very terrible for everyone involved. You know, no one likes, you know, losing a loved one and everything. Just very sad. And, you know, we obviously wish, you know, while we don't know how exactly she died, we obviously wish, you know, send one well wishes to, you know, her surviving family next to kin and all that. Poor thing. I mean, I always kind of had a soft spot for We Are Family. Just, you know, you hear it after a while, it just kind of becomes an inextricable thing. You know, kind of like when my dad was, like, obsessed with, you know, that one Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Like that, and We Are
Boogie,
Fam.
Boogie Wonderland or September?
September.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, and We Are Family were just kind of like staples at our house.
Right.
But yes, rest in peace, Joni Sledge. Obviously, our thoughts and well wishes go out to your family, as we said. This is sad. We got to move on to something more uplifting.
Let's go to Georgia. So,
yes, Georgia. Now, have we mentioned we like Killer Mike?
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Lost count. Yeah.
Possibly. But I mean, what's not to like? You know, he's an awesome-ass rapper. He's funny as hell, you know, when he does other shit, like when he voice acted for Frisky Dingo. You know, he's, you know, on the ground, you know, a political advocate in his home state. And that's also been recognized by his home state. Let's see the date here. On March 10th, so, you know, 3 days before we recorded this, the Georgia Senate actually honored him as an ambassador for the city of Atlanta. When he was at the Capitol, he even, like, gave the following speech, like, "The charge that I give all of us in this hall today is to make sure that Georgia remains an equitable place, not only for water, but for education, for workers' rights, for where we're living." Which, you know, it makes sense. Obviously, back during the whole presidential campaign, when that was a thing, he was, like, you know, campaigning, you know, engaging in activism hard, you know, on the behalf of, you know, the working class and trying to endorse Bernie Sanders, which, you know, I know that didn't pan out well, but at least you tried, Mike.
Yeah.
At least you tried.
Yeah, you fought the good fight.
Yeah, just everybody else that couldn't see it.
But, you know, good to know that the city of Atlanta, you know, recognizes that Mike, the work that he does is important to the community. He can do that, and he can make great music as well. Sometimes you only get one of those things.
Yep.
Ah, so that was pretty uplifting, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Now let's move on. Yep, now to move on to, and I know that was kind of short, but maybe this one we'll get a little more heft out of, these last couple stories. Yeah, only four this week, sorry. A lineup announcement for a festival. Who doesn't like having fun with these? In this case, it is the 2017 lineup of the annual Pitchfork Magazine Music Festival. you know, Pitchfork, that one website that all your really annoying music friends go to, and that only ever seems to put one metal album on their year-end best-of list, and it's usually some obscure black metal shit that's actually crap, but everyone loves for some reason.
Does this come from experience?
In what fucking... Why... Look, I just don't get why blogs like this love Death Heaven so much, okay? Fucking the most overrated metal band of the past 10 years, for real. And it's precisely because of blogs like Pitchfork, but whatever, that's another story for another day. So, moving on to this festival lineup. Okay, so it takes place in Chicago's Union Park from July 4th to July 16th. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the lineup here is pretty stacked,
and diverse.
Yeah, there's some pretty good stuff in here. So, let's start from Friday. Friday, July 14th. The performances will include such acts as LCD Sound System, Danny Brown.
Yes.
Nice.
Vince Staples.
Yes.
Dawn.
Right.
Madam Gandhi, Dirty Projectors, Arca, who we may have spoken about last week. Or was it the week before? I keep losing track of this shit. Fuck. But yeah, there's some pretty good stuff in there. Now, let's move on to Saturday, July 15th, aka the Let's Make Mark Very, Very Happy Day.
Okay, then.
So, Saturday, July 15th features A Tribe Called Quest.
Right.
Nice. George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic.
Doubly nice.
Madlib.
Alright, you got me there.
And Survive.
Okay, I'm sold.
There's, of course, other acts there that day as well. Jeff Rosenstock, Cherry Glazer, Mitski, PJ Harvey. But, you know, obviously, the four that I mentioned that made Mark happy are probably the big, you know, big deal shit that y'all want to go to. So now, moving on to Sunday Fest, the Sunday lineup. So the performances on that day will feature Solange, right. Nicholas Jarre, American Football, Emo Band, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I have at least one rock act there, right?
Yep. And the only other name I recognize here is Joey Perp. You know, he's got some game. Good rapper, as I may have mentioned before.
There's another name I recognize on Sunday is Isaiah Rashad. He's a rapper of Top Dog. You know, of course, he's for those guys. He's less known than the big four.
Obviously, well, yeah, that's a name I've heard around as well. I probably should check him out at some point.
He first had like a debut mixtape or EP, Sylvia demo, and then his album last year called The Sun's Tirade.
So, yeah, obviously, you know, I like this lineup a lot more than some of the other, you know, sort of all genres music festival lineups. Like, this is definitely way better than something like Coachella, because, like, the lineups aren't as packed with filler, and it's kind of, you know, stronger overall. Kind of think of it like the difference between, and sorry if I might sound like I'm stepping on a nerve here due to recent events, it's kind of like the difference between Toonami running 6.5 hours and Toonami running like 3.5 hours.
Okay, I see your point.
You know, it prunes, doesn't have as much fat to it, but it's much leaner and stronger with this kind of lineup.
Mm-hmm. And tickets are $75 a day and I'm going to save $5 for a three-day pass.
And like I said, I think I have like a little over $300 in my savings. Wonder if I can figure out how to... Oh, wait, what the fuck? Oh, it said like this offer... There's actually the option for a layaway plan, but it says it offers... It expires March 1st. Wait, what?
Wait, huh? But it's the 13th as of recording.
And this article was posted on the 10th. What is this?
Did they not do any spelling? Did they check with shit? What the hell?
Some editor's getting fired.
Yeah. So what's it going to be, Rob? Tennessee to see Jared Longy or Chicago for Pitchfork?
Probably neither. I'm probably going to save that money for something else. Like, I don't know, a Switch.
Yeah, why not?
So, there's going to be other stuff at this festival, obviously. There's a collaboration with the record label slash arts platform Saint Heron to have, you know, film screenings, artist talks, jazz jam sessions, art installations, you know, the usual shit. And that's going to be, you know, happening all throughout the city of Chicago through, actually, from starting from Thursday, so starting from the day before the festival actually starts. And if you're willing to spend some extra money, $365 for a 3-day pass, you get the Pitchfork Plus ticket tier, which grants you not just general admission to all the shit going on, but also access to premium food vendors, private specialty bars, deluxe air-conditioned bathrooms, cell phone charging stations, come-and-go re-entry across the festival grounds, shaded seating areas, which, you know, to be fair, I'd probably pay $365 just so I can use a good bathroom. You ever try using the bathroom at a music festival? Exactly. but, you know, some of y'all will have that to look forward to if you can afford to make it. But now we have one last story here to go through, and this one is a particularly infuriating one. Now, something that's been happening across the past couple weeks that we actually haven't touched on in this podcast are some curiosities surrounding the South by Southwest Festival, which I believe may have already started over this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There were some curious things that came out after one of the bands scheduled to perform noticed some rather odd language in their contract, basically stating that if they are caught playing any kind of shows unaffiliated with the South by Southwest Festival, then the organizers will basically just deport their ass. And, you know, they've been catching a fuck ton of shit for this, especially since, I don't know, the whole thing of threats of deportation has been kind of a hot issue recently. I don't know why, just a hunch, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, these deportation threats have, well, okay, independent of South by Southwest's terms and, but an Italian band named Soviet Soviet, who was scheduled to play some unpaid showcases at the festival, will unfortunately be unable to keep that commitment, as they have been deported when they arrived in, fuck, basically when they arrived in Seattle on Wednesday afternoon. So, to give some context to this, this band was traveling under a visa waiver program, more properly known as ESTA, or ESTA for you Spanish speakers out there. Basically, this is a special program that allows citizens from a handful of countries, about 40 or so, to travel to the United States without necessarily having to obtain a proper work visa. This is something that's often used by bands when they're just scheduled to play a handful of unpaid showcases, such was the case with Soviet Soviet. Now, even though they actually had a lot of documentation explicitly saying, you know, that they were scheduled to perform these promotional non-paid shows, not just in Seattle, but of course at South by Southwest, they were, you know, detained by Customs and Border Patrol, presumably, and then, you know, interrogated for a while, held in jail overnight, and then basically just sent on the next plane back to Italy. Now, you know why the whole Trump immigration thing kind of pisses me off? It's not because of the whole, oh, you just want illegals in the country. No, it's not about that. I mean, I have reservations about, you know, the whole how we define illegal immigration. I'm maybe kind of an open borders person in the broad scheme of things, but putting that aside, it's because with shit like this, where you're clearly in the green, like you have all the shit, you know, ready to go, you have your documentation, and you're traveling under a perfectly legal program that says you don't need a work visa as long as you meet these specific qualifications, which the band did, and they still get their ass deported anyway. Like, you could
That's
fucking
this
eat.
Regime, in a nutshell. Facts? Documentation? Fuck that. It doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Exactly. You could meet all the rules and be within all the legal parameters, and they will still deport your ass anyway. That is the whole issue I have with how the current presidential administration is handling any issues related to immigration. Not respecting the protocols we already have in place.
Well, you put in as much respect as you give out, which, with President fucking Fuckface, there is none to be had.
And I'm just sitting here, like, okay, if you work specifically in this field, like, you know, vetting immigrants and checking all their paperwork, shouldn't you know that, okay, if there is, and as we know, there clearly is here, that ESTA program, where you can travel without obtaining a visa necessarily, if this is a program in place, shouldn't you know that?
Well, you would think, but come on. You don't think new hires for Customs and Border Patrol are going to know any of that? They're just giving an order, hey, keep everybody out. That's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's like...
And scary, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, obviously, they're not backing down, because this story has been updated a couple times with some statements from the KEXP radio station in Seattle. When commenting, and I'm quoting directly from the article here, when asked by KEXP for a comment, the Department of Homeland Security maintained the position that the band lacked the proper visa for entry into the United States. DHS did not immediately respond to the question as to whether the use of prison cells and handcuffs is standard operating procedure for musicians arriving without a proper visa.
It's clear standard procedure doesn't mean shit now.
Obviously, fucking assholes. I mean, okay, maybe there's... Okay, if... I'm not even sure, like, just what's going on. Like, again, this program is clearly in place. How could you not expect or be prepared for a situation like this? That clearly falls under the ESTA parameters. Now, granted, maybe there's the idea that the program itself doesn't have enough protections for, you know, people traveling to the States. But even then, if it's there, it's gonna get used. So you should know what goes on with it, you know?
Yeah, but again, with this regime, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to respect anything. You don't have to read anything. We all know President fucking Fuckface doesn't read his intelligence briefings.
Heck, he probably can't even read Where's Waldo. But... Yep, the swamp. Draining it? What's that?
We're draining the swamp and bringing it back right into Washington. Thanks a lot, asshole!
But yeah, this is obviously very terrible for the band, and who knows how this will impact their ability to ever come back to the States. Should they be able to? I mean, okay, just... I don't know, worst case scenario, they probably never try South by Southwest again, which... Why would you? I mean, sure, they say they're going to look over the language in their contracts regarding immigration, but even then, just, you know, shit like this happens, is it even worth the risk?
Yeah. I think we need a little bit of levity, so I'd like to say something about something that happened in South by Southwest. Apparently, the disaster artist got unanimous praise and applause, which, that's a good sign. I'm looking forward to that movie.
Okay. Yes, I assume that's we all news. Are. Good. Hello, doggy.
Have you either of you read that book, by the way?
Aw, that's generous to assume that you think I read books.
Yeah, I should have known better.
I mean, if they have colorful black and white images. Manga counts as books, right?
Not my library, they don't.
Well, who cares? You live in North Carolina. I didn't even know they had libraries up there.
Yeah, we're all very stupid. And it shows.
But moving on, that basically covers all the stories for this week. So now we're going to tackle one last thing, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of March 17th, 2017. So starting from the top, we have five of note here. There's the newest album from Depeche Mode titled Spirit. There's a new, I believe it's an EP from singer Anoni titled Paradise, which from what I've seen, still has more production from Hudson Mohawk and 10 Tricks Point Never.
Okay, man. Damn. Say that quick.
There's, unfortunately, a new album, air quotes, from Rick Ross titled Rather You Than Me.
They must still promote that shit. They didn't want it on Martha Stewart, or I don't know.
I don't know either, but, you know, come on. Like, how the hell is Rick Ross still making music? Honestly,
all it takes, all it takes is one song, and you have a career.
But, like, who's really given a shit about him since, like, the mid-2000s, you know?
Who knows? Apparently, people behind Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but see, you know, at least that song had Skrillex on it. And obviously, Skrillex's star power overpowers Rick Ross.
That's hard, mind you.
Not tough to do. Moving on, we have the newest album from death metal veterans Obituary, which is a self-titled release. And last but not least, this one's technically a March 18th release, but it's, you know, something we ought to mention here, apparently. It appears good old Drake has finally set March 18th as the release date for his upcoming project More Life, which... Now, when you say life, do you mean, like, your music will actually sound like it's full of life? Because, personally, I doubt that.
Have you heard a single?
I can barely contain my excitement for a new Drake album.
Have you heard the singles? They don't sound very full of life. Drake, bro! Drake, bro!
Right. So, I guess for all you Drake fans who are still looking forward to always when there's new Drake, you can all... get that in your ears.
Yeah, they're gonna sell a million for first day or some week or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we'll be listening to music that actually has personality.
New Mastodon in 2 weeks!
Please be good. Please be good. So that'll about do it for this week's episode of the podcast. Now is where we sign out, clean house, get the fuck out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, you know the drill. You all know it, but I'll say it anyway. Aura of Azure, A-Z-U-R-E. Azure Aura on Twitch. All that kind of good stuff. Just, yeah. There you go.
Mark, what about you?
As for me, Mac telling me on Twitter, my own site, the Mount Hobbit One, at hobbit1.wordpress.com. And of course, the latest review I did this week is a review of Blood Bouquet Battlefront.
That's a show I still need to watch.
I know it's better the second time around.
It, huh? It has been a second time around.
Hmm.
That was in that second season. Whenever it's gonna win, whenever that's gonna be.
I mean, that's next season, right?
I mean,
like in a few weeks.
They didn't. I don't know anything about a date. Like they said,
yeah,
it's 2017. Just don't know what season.
It'll probably be summer.
Yeah.
So it'll be competing with Juan Punch Man season 2.
Alright, that's a thing that's happening too.
Damn.
But, obviously this isn't the place for anime talk.
Yeah.
So moving on. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda, and on YouTube at Rob Barracuda, where you're more than likely listening to this podcast. So while you're down there, be sure to hit the bell tab and click subscribe so you can always be notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up, which are, you know, usually every Friday, although that may change in the next week or two. Stay tuned. These two don't even know yet.
Well, I kind of know.
What?
We'll tell you when the recording's over. Okay. And you can, of course, find this podcast as well on Surreal Resolution, which, you know, the URL for that whole thing, www.surrealresolution.com. And, you know, find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. You know, go there, listen to our archives, listen to our gaming podcast, The Training Stage, in which our friends Tyler, Joey, and John frequently make fun of me for absolutely no goddamn reason. And also video games, I guess.
Yeah. And missed opportunities for Seinfeld references.
You had a fucking bowl of pretzels, Joey. What the fuck? Also, mac and cheese sucks. Deal with it.
Oh, whoa. Hold on a minute.
Oh, shut up, Alex. You think root beer is good? Like, I'm going to take
it is good
on anything.
One day.
Root beer tastes like my ass.
I would know that.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But.
Yeah, there's only one ass. I've already said too much.
Okay.
It's okay, we know. Anyway, while you're on the site, be sure to check out a lot of our great written content as well. Most recently, I started doing the weekly episode reviews of Samurai Jack, so you can check out my thoughts on the pilot episode, which, spoiler, it's fucking great.
Hear, hear. And you can also see my returning weeklies on Blue Exorcist, because I have a contractual obligation to continue talking about that show. Also, Ghost in the Shell 2. It's a weird movie.
Speaking of movies, I also have a film review up of the recently released Kong Skull Island. Short version, it's fucking good old B-movie fun. And thankfully not bloated to hell like the fucking Peter Jackson movie. Seriously, what does it say about your movie when the video game was better? And I don't mean that in a backhanded way, because the PS2 King Kong was fucking great. Maybe I just like playing as giant monkeys. So anyway, you know, read that, read all of the content as far as all, you know, our shit going up. We're going to try to, if we haven't mentioned this already, we'll have like weekly, you know, rotating things on Sundays. You know, try to get the content going, diversify things up a bit. I might have one in a couple weeks, actually. Stay tuned. Be sure to jump into the Discord chat. Follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezzo. And as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Well, that'll about wrap things up for Decibel Boost episode 25. So, until next time, make root beer illegal.
Shut the fuck up, Rob.
These women all on the prowl. If you hold the head steady, I'ma melt the cow. Forget about game, I'ma spit the truth. I won't stop till I get them in their birthday suits. So give me the rhythm and it'll be off with their clothes. And then over to the front and touch your toes. I left the jag and I took the roll. They ain't cutting and I put them on foot control.